All right, Tabosai. Good morning. Today's daf is Tzadik Gimel, but we are starting Tzadik Beis Amud Beis 92b. This is absolutely wonderful. I mean, every daf is wonderful Gemara, but this Gemara is so rich with just life advice. I'm sorry, we can't spend more time on each piece, but okay, you'll go back and see it on your own. So let's pick up. So again, 93 is today's daf. We're picking up 92b, and we are picking up. We are picking up Minoha Milsa, 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines up from the bottom. So Amarle Rabba, the Rabba, the Rabbi Marmari, Minoha Milsa, from where do we know this thing that people say? Bara Dishasis Mine, Lotishti Bikala. A well that you drink from, don't throw a clod of earth into it. Right? Don't throw rocks into the well you drink from. So where do we know this adage from? So Amalei Dichsev Lo Tisoyev Edomi Ki Achichohu For Lo Tisoyev Mitzri Ki Ger Hayisa Ba'artza. Right? They will say absolutely incredible Yisod. Do not go ahead and afflict the Adomi because he is your brother, and do not afflict the Mitzri because you are a stranger in his land. So we'll say, what do you see from here? At the end of the day, as much as Mitzrayim was the seat of our persecution for 210 years, yet what? It offered us shelter, it offered us a home, and it offered us, at least in the beginning, a very good life. It was the well that we drank from, and therefore don't throw stones into it. Incredible. From where do we know the statement that people say, these are all amazing. Idalis dura dalina. Ve'ilo lo dalina. Where do we know the adage where people say, if you help me lift this load, then I will help lift it. But if you do not help me lift this load, then I will not help lift it. Well, so in other words, then how do you know in life that if somebody wants your assistance, if they're willing to work with you, you should work with them. But if they're essentially trying to offload their responsibilities on you, that you should refuse. Amar lei dichsev vayomer elea barak, im telchi imi vahalachti, because as Barak says to Devorah, the Shofetas, if you will go with me for battle, then I'll go. But if you're not in, I'm not going. It's a very important yisod, by the way. You could often tell people's commitment to any particular life endeavor when they're willing to put skin in the game, right? Meaning people have all kinds of wonderful ideas and people love to share their ideas. You know, you should really do this. And you should really? How about we should really do this? So if we should do it, then I'm in. If it's something that you think I should do, which means you're not committed enough to be involved, then perhaps I have other things I have to do. An incredible yisod. So Barak and Devorah. So Mar goes right. I'm the Rabbi of the Rabbi Marmari. Minahamu, so the last three lines. Minahamu, so Dari and she. This is also amazing. There's so much, I just want to tell you, there's so much to say on each of these lines. Okay, maybe we'll learn the whole day Monday. Right, everybody's off. Yeah, Yache Kala. Mamish. Good. Good. Make an extra large pot of coffee. What?
There's a line in the road.
There's a line in the road, huh? You can't do it. Emir Sashem. Good, so let's go. Amrali Rava. Emir Sashem. All right, we'll send that. We'll WhatsApp the schedule. Amrali Rava L'Rava Bar Mari. Minaham Velsi Dar Meinchi. Katavion Zutri L'Gavri. Hashto D'Kashishna L'Dardke. Well, so this is amazing. When we were young, we were treated like men. When we were treated like men. In other words, now, Gavri doesn't just mean a man. Gavri means someone important. When we were young, we were treated like someone important. Hashta de kashishna, now that we're old, ledardiki, we're treated like children. So we'll say, so already, for just, by the way, I want to just point out, remember that we're dealing with two different adages in this Gemara. We're dealing with rabbinic sayings and what people say. So it's very important to be mechalik between those two, because the ones that Chazal are saying are infused with Kiddusha. The ones that people say are infused with kind of like life experience type of wisdom. So what is the Gemara saying over here? The Gemara is saying over here that unfortunately sometimes there is a disregard for the elderly. That sometimes, again, there's an incredible emphasis placed on youth. Incredible emphasis placed on youth. And a general disregard expressed for the elderly. Which will say, of course, you understand this fakaret. Meaning, again, we call an elderly person a zakein. And zakein stands for what? Zeshe kanachachma, one who has acquired wisdom. Which is important because you understand, you call every single zakein a zakein, even if he's not a Talmud Chacham. Why? Because Lemaisa, we work under the assumption that if somebody is old, they're wise. Even if it's halavai, it should be because of Torah. But even if it's not because of Torah, it's because of what?
Okay.
Life experience.
How old is that?
I'm sorry?
How old?
I'm not going to answer that question. How old is that? That's consult your local Orthodox rabbi. I'm just the maggot here. So says the Gemara. How do we know this? Now, this is actually quite interesting. The Gemara says, "Ksiv v'Hashem holeich lifnehem ba'amud anan la'chosam adera." Because Rabbi Yossi says, now remember, this is in the beginning when we first left Mitzrayim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu walked before them, right, to go ahead and show them the way, in the cloud, to show them the way. And at night, as a fire. And at the end, when we say lebasov, lebasov means later on, it says, so what's the contrasting over here is the following. When we first left Egypt, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself led us, which the Gemara's understanding to mean when we were young, when we were nationally young. So we were chashev in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he led us himself. When we got older, what happened? Now, remember, we'll say this actually is after the Chet HaEgel. By the way, it's not so much older. It's less than a year later. But nevertheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm sending a malach in front of you. Although, again, it's actually machlokes on a farshim who the malach is. Some say the malach actually is Yoshua, in which case it would be 40 years later. All right. In any event, the point the Gemara is making over here is that Lemaisa, when we were young, quote unquote, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself first led us. And when we were older, he sent the malach in front of us. So you see that this dynamic that sometimes there's an emphasis placed on the vitality of youth, and a little less emphasis placed on the elderly. Okay, Amalei Rabba, the Rabbi Bar Mari. Listen to this. Basar Mari Nichsi Tzivi Mashach. If you follow in the trail, if you follow, or I should say, literally, if you follow after a wealthy person, you'll get a little piece of the fat. Now, listen, what does that mean? That if you attach yourself to wealth, if you follow wealthy people in life, it doesn't literally mean like follow, like trail after, they're going to drop money. What it means is that if you attach yourself in life to wealthy people, then lemaisa, again, that wealth will rub off on you. Where do we see that from? Amalei dechsev, vegam lelot haholech es avram, hayatzon ubakar va'olim. Because the Bosei, listen to this, the Pasuk says, and also Lot, who traveled with Avram, had sheep and cattle and tents. So the Gemara is attributing ultimately Lot's wealth to the fact that what? Haholich es Avram. Amar Rav Chanan. Hamoser dina chaveru hu ne'er nash tchila. We'll say very profound Gemara. Someone who is Moser dina. We'll say Moser dina chaveru means someone who davens to HaKadosh Baruch Hu against another person. So I daven to Hashem and I say, you know, Reuven wronged me. So that's called being Moser Din to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You should judge Reuven for what he's done. So one who is Moser Din HaChaveiro, who Ne'en HaShchir, Bosei, is an incredible Yisod. The Ribono Shel Olam, and this is very appropriate, you know, for going into Elul as well, the Ribono Shel Olam operates with chesed, operates with kindness. When I go ahead and I say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I want you to deal with Din, I want you to deal with the attribute of strict justice towards another. What the Beis Din Shalmala does is really, you're bringing down the Midas Hadin on someone else. Well, first, before you summon down the Midas Hadin on someone else, let's see where you're holding. So whenever you try, that's what I will say, you see this over and over and over in the writings of Chazal, that how careful we have to be with how we treat the other, because how we treat the other ultimately creates the paradigm for how HaKadosh Baruch Hu treats us. So if I'm Moser Din HaChaveiro, Hu Ne'enash Tchila, if I try to bring down Din on my friend, so the Beis Din Shamala deals with Din with me first. That's what it means when it says I'm punished first. Shene'emar, V'atomer Sare El Avram, Chamosi Alecha. Because we also remember again, Soyinin who says to Avram, my disgrace is upon you. Now, this is talked about by the episode with Hagar, where Hagar acted disrespectfully towards Soyinin, and Sarah blamed Avram for that. Uksiv, Vayavo Avraham l'spoil Sarah v'livkosa. So amazingly enough, Chazal attribute Sarah Imenu's earlier death, what the Chazal really termed as a premature death, ultimately to the fact that she was Moser Din and Avram. V'hani mili de'isle dina ba'ara. Now this is also only assuming that what? That there is a way to adjudicate or a way to address these grievances here in this world. And I was about to say, if I have a problem with someone, I am permitted to address that grievance. So what's the ideal way? I'm supposed to find a Beis Din or find a Rav or find a mediator and work that out. If I choose to ignore those channels and instead go right to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's where Chazal says that's not the right approach. So therefore, again, where do we learn? This is from Sari Imenu, took Avram Avinu to task with HaKadosh Baruch Hu before doing anything. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. So by the way, just take a quick look. Look at Tosis for just a moment. Tap Tosis. The Ika Dina Ba'ara Ubi Me Sara Haya Beis Din Shal Shem Kayam. So this is amazing. So Tosis says, Sari Imenu, you have a problem with Avram? First of all, it's good to know. I'm saying even Sari Imenu has a problem with her husband, right? So, you know, you have a problem with Avram Avinu? No problem. There's an address. Take him to the Beis Din Shal Shem, right? Take him to the Beis Din Shal Shem and deal with it there. But don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the complaint before ultimately, don't turn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the complaint first. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Oy lo letzoik yotze min hanitzak. What's that incredible yisod? Really along the same lines. Woe to the tzoik, woe to the one who cries out about another, more to the one who is cried out about. Which Shabbos says, echoing, Rabbi Yitzchak seems to be echoing the same basic sentiment that we just said before. That if somebody complains about me to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so of course it's bad for me, but the truth is it's even worse for the person who cries out, because as we just said, that person is awakening din on themselves as well. Tanya Namiachir, but I will say again, remember, we're supposed to cry to HaKadosh Baruch Hu when we're in distress, and obviously if there's no other way to address the situation, God is the address. The idea that Chazal trying to say, if you have a problem with someone, try to work it out with them before you awaken the Midas Hadin on that person. Tanya Namiachir, Echad HaTzoik VeEchad HaNitzak B'mashma. Ella, So we'll say, when somebody that cries out to awaken the din on someone else, so both individuals are scrutinized. But the one who calls out to awaken the din on another, that person is scrutinized first. What's another amazing Gemara? The curse of a simple person should never be simple or light in your eyes. In other words, I will say, the goal in life is not to get cursed by anyone. And just because someone is not quote-unquote the tzaddik doesn't mean that their curse doesn't carry some kind of weight. Shari Avimelech killed Sarah, v'niskayim bizara. Avimelech cursed Sarah, and that curse came true in her offspring, Shina Emar. Hinei hu l'cha k'susei nayim. But remember, when Avimelech returns Sarah Imenu, so he gives Avram gifts and he gives Sarah gifts. So he gives Avram son, bakar, cattle, sheep, and he gives her, interestingly enough, a veil. A veil, k'susei nayim. Now, the veil, of course, was a symbol of modesty, which was to highlight the fact that she was not defiled in any way by Avimelech. The Gemara understands over here that it's like also like a shtach. You know, you deceived us. You and your husband, you and Avram deceived us. You placed the veil over us because remember again, you claimed you were his sister. He claimed he was your brother. So again, the same way you deceived us, Amrullah, hoil the kasisa mimenu velo gilisa shu'isheich, vegaramta elaya tzar hazeh, because you deceived me and you told me that this man, and you did not reveal that Avram was your husband, and you caused me this tzar. But remember again, the tzar we spoke about yesterday. You should have children who have covered eyes as well. And this curse came true in her offspring. And it was when Yitzchak got old and his eyes, his eyesight was dimmed. So we'll say Chazal attribute Yitzchak Avinu's blindness ultimately to the curse of Avimelech. Quite amazing. We'll say now this is another amazing Gemara. Amar Rabbi Avo, the Olam Yehe Adam in Anir Dafin, V'lom in Arotfin. It's actually quite amazing. A person should better be of the pursued and not of the pursuers. I will say, now, what is it? Now, this is actually, a person should rather be one of the pursued than one of the pursuers. Listen to what the Gemara says. She'in l'cha nirdaf ba'ofos yoser mitarim b'nei Yonah. So we'll say, because there are no birds that are more pursued, more hunted, than the pigeon and the turtle dove. V'chshirin ha'kosov l'gabe mizbeach. And yet what? And yet the Torah sanctions their use ultimately on the altar. So this is an incredible, incredible statement. The Gemara says that sometimes in life, it is, as much as we think it's better to be the oppressor than the oppressed, it's not true. It's better to be the oppressed than it is to be the oppressor. Why? Because when you're the oppressor, Abosai, you've compromised your humanity. When you're the oppressor, you've compromised your Tzelem Elokim. When you're the oppressor, you've compromised your Nesham. So as much pain as there is in being the oppressed, it is better to be the oppressed than ultimately the oppressor. Just the Marsha, again, I'm not going to get into it, but the Marsha, I'll just read to you one line. He has a different statement. He has a different version of this. He says, Ela de ka'amar, she'im ha'nir dafin, umitzidon lahatzilon min harotfin. The Marsha says what it means is, better to be of the oppressed than the oppressors means help the oppressed. Help the oppressed. If you see someone in difficult straits, then do not assume that it's someone else's problem to be able to address the difficulties. Rather, if you see a need, roll up your sleeves and ultimately address it. So whether it's saying, get involved and help out when you see there's a need, or, no, on a basic level, what Chazal are saying is, as terrible as it is to be the oppressed, it's better. It's better out your ruchnius, and it's better out your human dignity to be the oppressed rather than to be the oppressor. Incredible. Says the Gemara. Well, so now we're back a little bit to Baba Kama. Ha'omer sama es einai. So remember again, the Mishnah had an interesting case where if I say to someone, blind my eye, and he does it, even if I say I free you from liability, he's chayiv. Masha'enken, if I tell him, you know, rip my clothing and I free him from liability, ultimately he's potter. So asks the Gemara, Amalei Rav Asi Bar Chama L'Rava, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. We'll say, why is it that if I tell someone, blind my eye and I free you from all liability, that they're still chayiv, yet if I tell them, rip my clothing and I free you from all liability, then what? They're actually freed from liability. Why that distinction? Because of us, I see he answered, because at the end of the day, no one really is mochel on losing a part of their body. Meaning, even if I say, poke out my eye, and it's okay, I'm mochel, no one is mochel on a part of their body. Well, Masha'ikin, a person can absolutely be mochel on an article of clothing. But one second, is a person mochel on his pain and suffering? Disanya, hikani pitza'ani amanas liftar pater. So yet we see that a person seems to be mochel ultimately again on their pain and suffering. Because after all, if a person says, he kind of means literally hit me, pitzani is the same thing as strike me, almanas on the condition to be pater, right? And the person hits me or strikes me, what's talacha? Pater, I'm in fact pater. So we'll say, if at the end of the day, I'm mochel on my tsar, why is it so crazy that I wouldn't be mochel even on rashi evarim, even on parts of the body? So Ishtik, he was silent. Amar midi shmei lechabaha. Have you heard something about this? Meaning, do you have an answer? Amar lehachi amar av sheshes mishum pegam mishpacha. So I'll say there's a different piece over here. Difference over here is that when a person loses a part of their body, one part of their body, there's pegam mishpacha. In other words, it doesn't just impact the individual himself, but rather what? It impacts the greater family. It's interesting what the Gemara is suggesting over here is you can forgive anything that is your personal issue. But when things impact other people, that you don't have the right to forgive. That's why in the case where if I tell Reuven, poke out my eye, and Reuven goes ahead and I exempt you from any liability, he is not free from liability. Why? Because the loss of my eye doesn't just impact me. The loss of my eye will impact my family as well, and I don't have the ability to forgive that greater impact. Which Rabbi say, by the way, just as an aside, is an incredible, incredible mussar, that very often in life, when we do certain things, we often assume that the impact of our actions is limited to us. And that's why, again, so it's my life, I can do what I want, but it's important to understand that both on a real level as well as on a spiritual level, every single thing we do has an impact on those around us. And on a greater level, like the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tshuva, right? The world is in perfect equilibrium between Averos and Mitzvos. And every single thing that I do has an incredible impact, not just on myself, but on my world. It's an important yisod. We often act because we think that our actions only exist in a vacuum. But it's not true. And what we see from the Gemara is, meaning the hashkaf that comes out from it, is you can be mochel on things that just affect you. And you know what? You know what just affects you? Just affects you without anyone else? maybe what you eat for breakfast. Okay, that just impacts you and no one else. But we'll say everything else that we do in life has greater impact beyond us, and as such, we have to be mindful of those greater impacts as well. Itmar, Rav Oshi, Amar Mishum Pega. I'm sorry.
What if it's a slave who wants to be freed? I'll cut my eye, that way I'll go free.
So the answer to that is a slave doesn't always go free with every single loss of a limb. Certain things like that, where we know like there was a subterfuge going on over here, he won't go free because of that. Also, see, it's a machlokes as to, it's not just if anyone knocks out his eye, it's only if the master knocks out his eye. That's the other piece. So Itmar, Rabbi Oshia Amar Mishum Pekam Mishkach. So again, we're trying to give a couple of answers. Rabbi Oshia says the reason ultimately, again, that he can't be mochel on damage done to limbs is because of pegam mishpacha, because of the impact it has on family. Rava Amar Mishum Shein Adam Mochel Rashi Varim. Rava says because even if a person says poke out my eye and it's okay, right? I'm mochel, right? It's not true. Nobody actually feels that way. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, who said this is actually very interesting. Rabbi Yochanan says Yesh Hein Shehu Kilav V'Yesh Lav Shehu Kehein. Sometimes. Yes means no, and sometimes no means yes. Okay, so the application of this, you have to be very careful, right? So what does this mean? So Tanya Amyachinav say now what is the Gemara saying? The Gemara saying is that sometimes people use yes and no in sarcastic ways that conveys a different kind of meaning. Listen to this. So Tanya Amyachinav, we have a brace that supports this. Hikani Pitzani. Listen to this. I go over to Reuven and say, Reuven, punch me in the face. Amanas lift up. Reuven says, really? Will I be potter from damage if I do it? Va'amar lo hein. And I say, yeah, right. Right? Yeah, sure. Sure. So what does yes, sure in that case mean? Hari yesh hein shu kalam. Now, Bosse, what I'm saying over there, that yes is a sarcastic yes. So because it's a sarcastic yes, really what I'm saying is, no, I'm not pottering you. You can punch me in the face, but you're going to be absolutely chayiv for what you do. Similarly, kara es ksusi, if I say to Reuven, rip my clothing, and he asks me, I'm an aslifter, will I be potter? And I say, of course not. Now that's a sarcastic of course not, which means what? Which means yes, hare lav shehu kehein. So the bottom line is, don't punch anyone in the face, right? Even if they say that you're exempt. The idea that the Gemara is saying over here, at least according to this answer, is sometimes what people say in these type of situations is a little bit hard to read. So sometimes what you think a person is saying is not really what they're saying. So therefore, I will say what the Gemara is assuming over here is that at the end of the day, a person is not mochel on bodily damage. That's the bottom line. Even if a person says, I am mochel, either a person is just being sarcastic or a person doesn't really mean what it is that they're saying. But Lamaisa, we assume that even if a person says, inflict bodily harm upon me and I'm exempting you, we do not take that exemption at face value. Clothing, on the other hand, or material objects, if a person says I'm exempt and I'm reading it accurately, then Einachinami, I can be potter. Or Minhi. I'm sorry. Shavar, so we'll say bottom of wide line on the bottom. Shavar es kadi karesk susi chayes. So we'll say, remember again, if I say, break my jug, tear my clothing, and I don't exempt him, even though I'm giving him the directive to do so, he is still going to be chayev. Or mini, so the Gemara is the kasha, lishmar velo la'avod, velo la'avad, lishmar velo l'kroa, lishmar velo l'chalik lani. So we'll say, the halacha is that in order to make someone a shomer, we'll say a person only becomes a shomer if they are vested with the responsibility to watch an object. But if they are told, here, I'm giving you the object, and you know what, just do me a favor and lose it. Or here's an object, tear it. Or here's an object and go disperse it to the poor. We'll say that does not create a shmirah, an agency. Because then that person is acting in a different capacity. Shmirah is only when I give something to someone, ultimately to watch it. So what the Gemara is asking over here is, the assumption we're talking about over here is, I give Reuven my jug, and I say, Reuven, do me a favor, smash the jug. So we'll say the halacha should be in that kind of case, Reuven's not operating as my shomer. Therefore, if he smashes the jug, actually, he should be potter. Should be potter. Look at Rashi just a moment. Lishmar b'lo le'avad. Ki yitein lishmar dev kido eslo lishmar chayev b'pshia. We'll say it's only when a person has been entrusted to watch something that he is chayev ultimately if he's negligent with the object. V'lo kishev kido etzlo amanas le'avot ola amanas le'chalig la'niyim. De lo karina be'lishmar. We'll say it's very important you sowed, by the way. When you give something to someone and you tell them, do me a favor, destroy it, tear it up, or disperse it, that's not a shmira. That's not, now that may be a different kind of relationship, but that is not a shomer type of relationship for which the agent will be chayiv for negligence. Therefore, the Gemara suggests over here is if I give Reuven my article of clothing or my jug and I tell him break the jug and he breaks it, in fact, what should be the halacha? He should be potter, right? Why? Because the mice, again, he should not be chayiv, because we assume he's chayiv because he's a shomer once he has the jug, and when he breaks it, he's acting negligently. But in fact, what the Gemara is suggesting is there's no real agency that's ever been established over here, to which the Gemara says, one second, Amar li Rava Lishmar, Amar li Rava Lishmar da Asi li De Mashma. So Rava says, I'm sorry, I skipped the line. Amar Rav Huna lo Kasha, ha da Asi li Ade, ha da lo Asi li Ade. So Rav Huna says, it's not a problem. When do we say that ultimately, again, he's going to be potter? That's when the object ultimately, again, did not, I'm sorry, had asi li adei means the object came to his hand before the adon told him to destroy it. So we'll say in that moment where the object came to his hand before being told to destroy, there is an agency that is created, and therefore when he subsequently destroys it, he's going to be chayiv for negligence. Had lo asi li adei, whereas the second case is what we'll say, before the object came to his hand, he already got the instructions to destroy it. Armalei Rabba Lishmar da Asli Adei Mashal. Rabba says it doesn't make sense because the Lashon of Lishmar means that what? The Shomer already has it in his possession, to which the Gemara says, Allah Amar Rabba Hava Hada Asli Adei. So therefore, Rabba says both cases are where the object already came to the person's hand. V'lo Kashya Hada Asli Adei B'Torah Shmira Hada Asli Adei B'Torah Kriya. So we'll say it depends on the case. If the shomer got the object, and he originally received it as what? As a shomer. So I give my jug to him. I say, Reuven, watch this jug for me. Then after he has it in his possession, I say to him, possession, I say what? I say, Reuven, break it. The Rebbe says, what's the halacha in that case? The halacha is if he breaks it, he's chayiv. Why? Because lemaisa, the shmira agency has already been created. If he breaks it, he's negligent, and therefore he's going to be chayiv. Masha inkein, Rabbi say what? Masha inkein. If when I give it to him, I say, Reuven, I'm giving you this jug to break it, then what? An agency has never been created. Therefore, when he subsequently breaks it, he will in fact be potter. We'll say this is a fascinating case. Who arnika did tzedaka the asid pumpadisa? There was literally arnika tzedaka means a tzedaka wallet. Well, let's say now, a tzedakah wallet in this case means that there was a tzedakah fund, literally a pouch full of tzedakah money that came to Pumpadisa. Afkida Rav Yosef Gabeahu Gavra. So we'll say Rav Yosef was the Gabai tzedakah, Rashi says Gabai Hava was the Gabai tzedakah. So what happened? Rav Yosef entrusted it with a particular man. Right, so Mosh, you have to listen to this Gemara over here. Mosh is our Gabai tzedakah, so get ready. So what happened? So Rav Yosef entrusted with a particular man. Pashaba, so I'll say the guy was negligent. Now what does it mean the guy was negligent? It doesn't mean he stole it. What does it mean? He had the pouch of money in his house, and what happened? He left the door open. So he was negligent. So asu gande ganvua. So what happens? Thieves came and they stole the tzedakah money. So chayve Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef wanted to say to the ganav, you're chayiv, right? You're chayiv for negligence. You were a shomer. So let's say for argument's sake, the guy's a shomer chinam, right? Let's say he's an unpaid custodian. You're still chayiv for what? For negligence. So therefore he told the guy, you have to pay back the money to tzedakah. Listen to this. Listen to this. It's actually quite interesting. But what did we just say before? A shomer agency is only affected when the job of the shomer is to watch the object. But if the job of the shomer, if the job of the custodian, we'll call him, is to distribute the funds, then what Rabbi say? That's not shmira. That's not a shomer. If that's the case, and that's just based on a technicality. The way that the halacha frames shmira, a shomer is, I entrust an object with someone, and what's the job of that individual? Watch it. Guard it. I don't want you to, don't tear it up, don't destroy it, don't disperse it. That's shmira. So ask the Gemara over here, this money was entrusted by Rav Yosef to this guy for what purpose? To distribute, right? So if it's if his job is to distribute, then what? Then he's not a shomer. If he's not a shomer, then what? Then he shouldn't be chayiv for pshia. If that's the case, how could Rav Yosef say that he's chayiv? Oh, this is amazing. Amar le ani de pumpadisa mikitz kais lehu velishmahu. But say, listen to this. The way that tzedakah was set up in Pumpadisa Bosai is that each ani was given an allowance. Meaning it was known how much money from that pot was going to be distributed to each ani. Look at Rashi. Kayitz means there was an established set amount for each ani. So kayitz lehu mamon, kach vekach l'shabes l'chol echad havali mamon, shiyesh l'tov mekarina be'lishmon. Bosai, listen to this. This is amazing. So because that money essentially was already allocated to the aniyim, it was already as if that each bit of that money was already allocated to a particular ani. Therefore, the individual was considered to be the shomer for the different aniyim. So it's an amazing yisod. Even though the money was not yet distributed, in essence, it was allocated. So it was no distribution, but there was already an allocation. Because there was an allocation, the aniyim were considered to be the owners of that money already. And therefore what? The shomer, the guy who was watching it, was considered to be a bona fide shomer. And therefore when he left the door open, he was a posheah. And therefore he would be chayiv ultimately to pay back the monies that were lost. Which I will say is actually an incredible yisod hilchos tzedakah. Not our topic today, because the interesting shailas about what happens if you allocate money to tzedakah and then you decide you want to use it for something else. I wanted to give to organization A, and then you know what? I got a call from organization B. They do great work. I want to shift. So it's interesting halachas. Can you shift monies? Can you shift monies from one thing to another? So we'll get to this actually. We'll see this sugya. That there is there also potential distinction between organizational allocations versus individual allocations. Meaning there is a possibility to say that if I know an ani, if I designate money towards that ani, once that money is designated for the ani, do you see from here that's what? That the ani becomes a partial owner of that money already. So again, so that's what we'll discuss. So we'll get to this, I guess. Let's say, Hadron Allah HaChovel Mazel Tov. Mazel Tov. What is the chus? To finish Perek Ches, 8th Perek Baba Kama. Now we come to our Goza. So we'll say this again, riveting Gemara. Bamsh, double riveting. So says the Mishnah. Hagoza, and don't read into that double riveting. I'm not like setting up like, oh yeah, real riveting. This is mamish, like, I don't use these words loosely. I don't say that about any Gemara. So I'll say, listen to this. Hagoza eitzim. No, this really, you're getting into real, like kosher mishpat, you know what I mean? Hagoza eitzim my son Caleb. We'll say, this actually is fantastically, amazingly lamaisa, because this has to deal with what, well, we'll see. Hagoza eitzim my son Caleb. We'll say, a person steals wood. I steal wood, and I make it into utensils. Tsemer va'asan begadim, or I steal wool, and I fashion it into clothing. Mishalim kishas ha'gazelo. Oh, boss, this is a fascinating halacha. So what happens over here in situations where I steal something, and over the course of time, meaning between the time that I stole and between the time that I repay, there's a change in the object. So how do I measure repayment? To which the Mishnah says, we actually saw this earlier, repayment amount is locked in at the time of theft. So whatever the value of the item was at the time of the theft, that is my obligation. Which Shabbos Yonatan has incredible repercussions, because let's say there's some type of appreciation or depreciation of the item. Again, apparently we'll see that we don't really take that into account. A value of our obligation of repayment locked in at the time of theft. Gazal para meuberes v'yalda. Similarly, let's say I stole a pregnant cow and Mazel Tov it gave birth. Or Rachel Tuna Vigazza, or I stole a sheep. Tuna Vosai means that was heavy with wool, and I sheared it. So Mishalim Dmei Paramedes Leleid Udmei Rachel Haomedes Ligazes. So when repaying, I have to pay the value of a pregnant cow and the value of a sheep that is, I don't know, there's probably a better term than filled with wool, that is ready to be shorn. So same idea. Gazal Paravinis Arba Etzlo. We'll say, if let's say I stole a cow and the cow became pregnant, right, while it was with me, Bisha Tova. So what happens? V'yolda, and then it gave birth. So we'll say, in this case, I stole an unpregnant cow. It became pregnant when it was with me. Let me clarify that. Meaning, it became pregnant while it was, you know, while it was in my possession. Right, okay, good. Getting some weird looks from people. So V'nesabra Etzlo, V'yolda, and then it gave birth, or Rachel, Vinitana, or Rabos, I stole the sheep. And remember again, the sheep was in my possession for a while, and now it became filled with wool. V'gazaza, Mishan Kishasak Zera. So we'll see in the Gemara why exactly the Mishnah needs to say all of these cases, because the principle is the same in all of them. And in fact, the Mishnah says it again, Zera Klal, the general principle is, Kol HaGazlonim, Mishalmin Kishasak Zera. We'll say all thieves pay in accordance with the value of the item at the time it was stolen. Fine, says the Gemara. So we'll say, Amri Eitzim Vasan Kalim, in Shifan Lo. So we'll say, so the Gemara makes an interesting diuk. The Mishnah's case was a situation where you stole wood and you made it into utensils. So we'll say, just I want to be clear on one other piece here. The other piece, what's the operative principle? There are two operative principles here. Operative principle number one is that when assessing the value of the stolen item, we assess the value at the time the item was stolen. But there's another important principle here. And in fact, if you look at Rashi, the first Rashi in the Mishnah, I'm sorry, I skipped it. Rashi says, says another operative principle over here, which is what? That when I steal an object and I change that object, I have acquired that object. Bo says, it's an incredible yisod. There's such a thing called kinyane gzela. There are kinyanim, or acquisitions of theft. If I steal an object and I change it, you see, obviously, where everyone's going to agree with is the following. If I steal an object and what? It's extant, meaning let's say the object that I stole is right here, and it's the same object that I stole, then what? Then I have an obligation to return the object. In this mission, this paragraph I was dealing with cases where I changed the object. What happens when a thief changes the object? So first, so what the Mishnah is teaching me is, I, the thief, acquire the object. There's something called the kinyon, that kinyon, the kinyon in gizela, and I acquire it when I change it. And that's so I acquire when I change it, and I'm obligated to repay in accordance with the value of the object at the time that I stole it. Says the Gemara, Amri Eitzim Vasam Kalim In. When do I acquire an object? That's only if what? If I take the wood. Let's say I take the wood, and I fashion it into a utensil. Av Shifan Lo. But I will say, now Shifan means I planed the wood. So I think that's the right verb. Right, you plane it, meaning you smooth it down. Sand it down. So we'll say, so apparently, right, Alan, I'm right? Sanding it down, right? Planing it. So what happens? So this is actually very interesting. So the Gemara says, when do you get to keep the object? That's only when what? When you've actually changed the object, changed the wood into utensil. But if all I did was plane down the wood, then what? Then Enachinami, it sounds like over here, I would have to give back the wood itself. Because in other words, in order for Shinoi to be Kona, it has to be what? Something significant. It has to be a real change. But apparently sanding down wood is not enough of a change, and I'd have to return the wood itself. Similarly, Semer Va'asan Begadim In. Well, say if I stole wool and I made the wool into clothing, then Enachinami, that's enough of a substantive change to make me have to return, that I acquire the wool, and I just have to pay the value of the wool. However, Libnon Lo, but I will say, if all I did was what? If all I did was I bleached the wool, then that is not enough of a significant change, and what? I would actually have to return the wool itself. So I will say, just so you understand, this is not just on the thief, this is also on the victim. Because what it says is, let's say I steal wood from Reuven, and I sanded it down, and Reuven says, well, I don't want sanded down wood, give me back the money. I have the ability to say to Reuven, no, I'm returning the object to you, or I bleached his wool. So he says, I don't want bleached wool, I want unfinished wool. So we'll say what the Gemara is saying over here is, not every single change, not every single shinui affects an acquisition of the item on behalf of the ganav. Apparently, only significant shinuyim affect the ownership of the gazla, of the thief. Or minu, so where is the kasha? Gazla eats him. If I stole wood, v'shifan, and I planed it down, avonim v'sisisan, or I stole stones, and I chiseled them, tsemer v'libnan, or I stole wool, and I whined it, pishtan v'nikal, or I stole linen, and likal means I will say I cleaned it. So what's talacha? Mishalim kishasa gzela. I have to pay in accordance with the value of the item at the time that I stole it. Shabbos tells us what means what for our purposes, that I acquire these items. So this contradicts what we just said before. We just said before, based on our Mishnah, that Shabbos say planing down wood is not enough of a shinui for the ganav to acquire it, and whitening wool is not enough of a shinui for the ganav to acquire it either. Meaning, in those cases, you'd have to pay back the wood, you'd have to pay back the wool. And yet, you see from the brisa that what? That planing down wood is a shinui bleaching wool is a shinui that would affect the acquisition of these items on behalf of the ganav. So which one is it? Amra bayitane didon katani shinui dirabonan dahajra v'choshekin shinui doraisa. So says Abai, our Tana, meaning the Tana of our Mishnah, Rabosai included even cases of Shinui Dirabanan. Rabosai, Shinui Dirabanan are examples of changes that ultimately return, that can be returned to their normal state. And all the more so, a Shinui D'Oraisa, which cannot be returned to its previous state. For example, Eitzim Vasoim Kalim. So we'll say, for example, if you take wood and you make it into utensils, so we'll say that could actually be what we call a shinoi dahadar. That could be a reversible change. How so? Because what type of wood are we talking about? The Eitzim Meshupin. So we'll say, because remember the Mishnah was dealing with the case of what? Where I stole sanded down wood. What does it mean to steal sanded down wood? Umainihu Nisarin. Those are boards. The shinoi dahadar libriyasu. Because I will say, that is the type of change that is reversible. How is it reversible? Because remember, think about this. If I steal boards, and I make those boards into a utensil, that is a reversible change. How is it a reversible change? Take apart, right? Let's keep it easy. I make a bench, right? I make a bench. So that is a reversible change, right? Because I could take apart the bench. The assumption the Gemara is making over here is I didn't cut down the boards or anything. So again, that's an example of I stole wood. I fashioned it into a bench, Rabbi Osai. That's the case of the Mishnah, the Gemara Abai is suggesting. The case of the Mishnah Bosai is with what we'll call a shinui drabanan dahadra, rabbinic change that is reversible. So that's the case of the Mishnah. So I'm stealing wood, I'm making it into a bench that is a reversible change. It's a reversible change. It could take apart the bench. They will say, now the Mishnah similarly, tsemer vasan begadim. Similarly, will say, if I stole wool and I made it into clothing, so what's that case? But semer tavoy, that's the case of also where the wool was already made into thread. The shinoi dahadu libriyasu, I could reverse that change. How so? The ibay sasrele, because also I could take apart the clothing and what? Reverse it back to its original thread. So the Gemara Sabai is suggesting that our Mishnah Rabosai is talking about these, when I steal already a finished item, finished wood, or finished wool, and I make it into utensil. And the chiddush is what? Even though what I've done is reversible, the Mishnah still paskins that what? Even with a reversible change, the thief still acquires the item and doesn't have to pay back the object. Rather, what? Pays back the value in accordance with the value of the object at the time it was stolen. And all the more so, the Mishnah would agree, the choshkin shinui daraisa. People say, what's a shinui daraisa? What's a shinui daraisa? An irreversible change. So the Mishnah is teaching me that the thief acquires the object even with a shinui d'rabbanan, a rabbinic change, which is what? Which is what? A reversible change, and all the more so with what we call a shinui d'raisa, which is an irreversible change. The Tana Bera, on the other hand, the Tana of the Braisa, he holds like this: shinui d'raisa katani, the shinui d'rabbanan lo katani. The Braisa only brings down cases, Rabbi Osai, of shinui d'raisa. So what's the case of shinui d'raisa? Case of shinui d'raisa would be where I plane down wood. Also, when you sand down wood, then what? That's irreversible. When you bleach wool, that's irreversible. So the Tana is only talking about irreversible changes and telling me that in that case, the ganav acquires the object, but is not dealing with reversible changes. Next, Rav Ashi, also we're just trying to reconcile the Brais with our Mishnah. Rav Ashi, Tana didan nami shinui d'oraisa katani. So Rav Ashi says, no, our Tana is also talking about only, meaning our Tana, the Tana of our Mishnah, is also only talking about shinui d'oraisa, irreversible changes, and what's his case? Eitzim vasam. Can I both say, what's the case of wood that was made into a kli? Buchnoi. Well, it's the moment where I take a piece of wood and I fashion it into a pestle, right? Like a mortar pestle, like a pestle. Dahainu shifan. That would be the case ultimately again of where I plane down the object. Semer vasan begadim. We'll say, what's the case of where I took wool and I made it into clothing? That's the case of nimate. We'll say, so apparently if you take wool and you press it, you compact it, you make what's called nimate, which is felt. That is irreversible. Why? Because Rashi points out, once it's been compacted, you can't separate out the individual wool fibers anymore. Balibon, mihavishinis. So we'll say, so, but is that true? But then what about bleaching? Is bleaching considered to be a real shinui of wool? And I will say, because remember, the Braisa said that if I steal wool and I bleach it, I don't know if bleaching is the right term for wool, but libon, whitening it. So if I whiten it, is that really considered to be a real shinui that would affect the acquisition of the wool on the part of the ganav? Or minhu, raise the kasha, lo hispik litno lo achet savo. So we'll say, this actually is talking about a different kind of case. This is talking about a case. You look at Rashi, lo hispik litno, the reishis hagaz lakoin achet savo. So we'll say, this is about reishis hagaz means that there's an obligation to give the first shearings to a coin. First obligation to give the first shearings to a coin. So the halacha is, so let's say, lo hispik litno lo achet savo. Let's say, now you're supposed to give raw, unprocessed wool to the coin. Let's say I dyed it. Let's say lo hispik litno lo achet savo. I dyed the wool. So we'll say, if I dyed the wool before I gave it to the kohen, pater. In fact, I am pater from giving him that wool. Liv no velo tzavo, chayiv. But yet, if I just bleached it, but I didn't dye it, I'm still chayiv to give him the wool. So we'll say, Rashi says over here, pater, tikanye b'shinoi b'damim nami lo mishalim delav gozel gemara. So we'll say, essentially what the gemara says is like this. If I take that wool, and I change it in a substantive way, I'm no longer obligated to give it to the kohen. What's an example of changing the wool in a substantive way? Dyeing it. But if all I did was what? Was whiten it, that's not a substantive change. I still have to give it to the kohen. So I'll say, so what do you see? What do you see over here? You see over here that whitening wool is not a substantive change. If it's not a substantive change, then what? Then when a ganav steals the wool and dyes it, or not dyes it, excuse me, and whitens it, then what? He shouldn't acquire the wool, and he should have to repay the wool itself. So it's a kasha, yet the Braisa said that when he dyes the wool, ultimately again, when he dyes the wool, he does acquire it, to which the Gemara says, lo kasha, ha Rabbi Shimon v'ha Rabbanan. We'll say it's not a contradiction, two different opinions of Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan. We'll say we'll stop over here for today. I'm going to record a few more lines still this afternoon. We're going to pick up towards the daf in Meretz Hashem tomorrow. So we'll stop over here. I'm leaving you on a cliffhanger. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbanan, stay tuned. It'll be recorded a little bit later. Yes. Oh, I was like, thank you. So tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Tomorrow is Rosh Chodesh. Elul. B'sha tov.
Oh, no, I didn't mean that.
That's what happens. I'm too trusting. Too trusting.
I meant Sunday.
Sunday. You know, we'll WhatsApp the schedule out. You know, we'll WhatsApp. Tomorrow, regular time, Daf, Mishnah 5:45. And the Daf will start a few minutes early also again tomorrow with Daf, about 5:55. Shkoyach. No problem. Why does the Gemara...